It's time to drop the puck on the Sports Trivia Face-Off. That's right. You have downloaded episode 34 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I am here with my friend Andrew. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing terrific. How are you doing, Brent?
And I'm also here with my co-host, Aaron, who's going to introduce the game today first. Aaron, how are you?
I'm cold as shit. Thanks for asking.
Well, that's what happens when you go to the northern reaches of the country. Tell us why you're cold as shit and what we're going to do for a game today.
Yeah, well, I'm cold as shit because I'm currently sitting in a basement in St. Paul, Minnesota. Andrew has written a game for us. Brent and I are going to play head-to-head. And this will finally give me the opportunity to put to bed the question, why do you say you're so bad at sports trivia when you host a sports trivia podcast? Because no one believes me when I tell them I'm bad at it. So this will give, I can show them the receipts, as the kids say.
So what I should do then is intentionally throw this podcast and let you win by a huge margin so that people will keep asking you the question.
Look, I'm already trying to do a little of that by tilting it in our favor, but we still think there's going to be some skullduggery here. So watch yourself.
That does sound like a win-win as these things go, but we'll see what happens.
And also points for using the word skullduggery. I'm a big fan of it.
Well, we try to approach the higher brow of your audience here, Brent.
That's right. So before we throw it over to Andrew, let's go over the rules. Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer five questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. Two intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there. And now that we know how to play the game, here is Andrew.
All right, so I have written 6 categories total because I didn't want to have to overwrite for this game because, you know, I'm efficient with everything I do. So I'm going to give you all 6 categories now. And then for periods 1, 2, and 3, you can pick from among those just so you can filter it all through. So first of all, before we do anything else, let's use the magical random number generator to figure out who's going to go first. And Aaron's in the house, so I'm going to give her the option. Is it heads or tails?
I'm only playing this game if you're using an Alexa or Google Voice to flip it. Otherwise, Brent should do it.
Okay. Google Voice, I'm going to do it.
Cool. Tails.
Flip a coin. Flipping. Tails.
I mean, I'm glad I won, but I couldn't hear it.
All right. There was no little extra sensation going on there, but it's tails. So, Aaron, you get to choose first from the following categories. Steely Dan says, hey, go marching in. You might remember me. It was a very good year. Weird World of Sports and Girls on Film.
Oh, jeez. I'm going to go with Weird World of Sports.
Weird World of Sports. This is as close to a miscellaneous category as I'm going to come up with.
Great.
All right. Question number one. The Crashed Ice Competition is a downhill skating race that tours several sites, including one in St. Paul that starts at the Cathedral. What company sponsors this contest?
Is it Snow Cone? Is that a company?
I don't know if it is, but that is incorrect.
Oh.
Brent.
I'm going to guess Powerade.
That is also incorrect. It is the company most known for people trying to break their bones on various things, to my knowledge. It is
Red Bull.
Oh, okay.
If you'd given that in the clue, I would have gotten that. The people getting hurt sports store is always Red Bull.
Oh, yes. It's actually a pretty dramatic race. It's downhill skating, which is exactly as dangerous as it sounds.
Jeez.
There's hills and jumps and everything like that. All right. Question number two. Fenny Bentley, a town in Derbyshire, England, is the home of the world championships of what kind of body part wrestling? The fact that I'm giving you this question immediately should rule out a couple of the obvious alternatives.
I mean, I have a guess that would get bleeped out immediately.
I believe Vegas is the home capital for that kind of wrestling.
I was going to say a ranch in rural Nevada, but that's another.
No. Ooh, you guys went in two different directions with that, and I love it. So I had it narrowed down to the two obvious ones, and then you were like, the hint was it's not an obvious one. So I'm going to say foot wrestling.
The technical accepted definition of this is toe wrestling, but I will accept foot for 10 points.
I mean, I will take the points.
I watched the video of it. It's very, it's like they grapple with the toes and then they use their feet to maneuver it like as in arm wrestling.
Oh, that sounds ludicrous and I love it.
Exactly ludicrous like that.
Nifty.
Yeah.
Great. What household chore is the subject of his own extreme sport, very much in quotation marks, as founded by Tony Higham in England in 1980?
I'm going to guess sweeping.
Sweeping is incorrect. Brent, do you have a guess?
Is this the extreme ironing competition?
It is the extreme ironing competition.
I have heard of that.
Good, because I felt embarrassed that I had to.
So I've seen the beginnings of this competition. It's basically like find the most crazy remote spot to do it. And so in the beginning, it was like mountain climbing or whatever they have for mountains in England that would do the job. But it's kind of taken farther dimensions as more people have taken on the sport, like under a glacier and in midair while skydiving and things like that.
I'm surprised Red Bull hasn't gotten on board and partnered up with them for a people breaking bones while ironing competition.
Wait. There. Did you just say extreme ironing? You were going to get on board.
Oh my.
Oh,
that's beautiful. Fantastic.
It's fine.
All right. Question number four. An annual race and event at Cooper's Hill in England has the competitors chase what item as it rolls down a hill?
Oh, it got to be a barrel, right?
Barrel is incorrect. Brent?
No, I guess it doesn't have to be.
I believe that's a wheel of cheese.
Cheese is correct. Technically, it is in Gloucestershire, and the wheel of cheese is double Gloucester. And in the past, the wheel was actually a real wheel of cheese and has hurt people significantly. So in subsequent runnings of the race, they replaced it with a styrofoam replica.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yes. Well, the winner of the race does receive a wheel of cheese, does receive the wheel of cheese the same size as the prize.
I believe it's part of one of the commandments that if you die running downhill chasing a wheel of cheese, you don't get into heaven.
Yeah, or you get into bonus heaven.
Mm.
Ooh.
I think you've earned your way there.
I also feel like calling out of work for a cheese-related injury might be one of my new life goals.
As long as it's chasing and not eating, because I think they'd be a little less serious about that. All right, question number five. What two-word name is often given to Quidditch, played in the real world, to distinguish it from its magical inspiration?
Oh. So the University of Richmond had a Quidditch team. And when I was in law school, we used to go like drive by and kind of, you know, look at those nerds. And apparently we were too busy being smug about it to learn what it's called. I know it's not broomball because that's something else. They call it like muggle ball. I'll say muggle ball.
I'm in a conundrum here because I got to figure out a ruling on this one.
I mean, I think it was a great answer.
And just by saying that, I'm tipping off Brent a little bit. I'm going to accept it. The answer that I was looking for was Muggle Quidditch, but you got the key part of the answer, so I'll accept it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I figured it wouldn't. You used the word Quidditch in the question, and I figured you wouldn't.
That's a fair adjustment. Muggle Ball is just fine by me.
Okay, thanks.
All right. So after one round, Aaron has 20 points. Brent has 10. Your category choices are Steely Dan says, "Hey, go marching in. You might remember me. It was a very good year," and Girls on Film.
I'm going to guess that I know what this is about and say it was a very good year.
All right. This is a category about 2018 in the world of hockey.
Aha. Oh. I was wrong, but that's fine.
That's okay.
I thought it was going to be questions on 1985 because every time 85 comes up, I say it was a good year.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
Huh. You guys are on a whole different headspace than me then.
It's the year I was born is the only reason I do that.
Mm. It's also a sign that we've been working together too long.
It really is. Yeah. Yikes. That's cool, though.
Oh, dear.
I like it when my bits stick.
Oh, my.
I'm so tired.
All right. Then, tired Brent, here's your question number one. David Quinn became the coach of the New York Rangers this year after rumors circulated insisting he wouldn't leave which college coaching job?
Oh, boy. I have not. I've had this thing about a podcast, which has kept me from following most of 2018 hockey. For some reason, I'm going to say St. John's.
St. John's is incorrect. Aaron.
That is Boston University.
Boston University is correct. And not like Boston College, like I totally thought it was.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, he's there now. So, and not a BU. Question number two, Brent. What team, coached by Marco Sturm, won the silver medal in men's Olympic ice hockey by losing the gold medal game to Russia?
I think that's Germany.
Germany is correct for 10 points.
It was a good game.
Now Marco Sturm is on the bench in L.A. Oh, he did good. Question number three.
That's the other reason for my state is that 8-2 drubbing that I got to witness in person last night.
Sorry, dude.
That was glorious.
Well, I saw 50 minutes of it at least.
Was it 8-2? They got the empty netter?
Yeah, it was 8-2. Mm. Or was it 3? Might have been 3, but it was
4.
Definitely 8.
Except we were watching.
And Line A had 5 of them.
He did, which, I mean, as a third-party observer was kind of cool. But look, a loss is a loss. It doesn't matter what the goal differential was. Mm-hmm.
This is true, but we needed a win.
Well, maybe someday if you pray hard enough, you'll get that win.
Wow, now who's getting snarky?
There's only so much I can do, but you're in division now, buddy.
That's right.
I believe only one of us has a team that has won a Stanley Cup.
That's sadly true. So,
I believe one of us could just shut the hell up.
All right, question number three. The Frozen Four was held in St. Paul this year and won by the University of Minnesota at Duluth. Which associate member of the Big Ten fought their way to the final only to be the runners up?
I'm pondering.
Okay. Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
Probably not.
Same thing we do every night, Brian.
I know they're one of the associate members, and I don't think this is right, but Rutgers is all I'm coming up with, so I'm going to say Rutgers.
Rutgers is incorrect. Aaron?
Well, so I'm not even sure what an associate member of a college athletic conference would be. But I feel like didn't North Dakota do well last year? I'm going to say North Dakota.
North Dakota is also incorrect. And okay. you may have been picking up the hint I was trying to lay in the question about fighting their way or fought their way.
Oh, Notre Dame.
Oh, shit. It's Notre Dame.
That's what an associate membership in a conference. Yeah.
I only spent most of the weekend with 2 Notre Dame alumni. That's no big deal.
Well, they obviously didn't rub in the fact that they lost the Frozen Four against Minnesota Duluth. So.
Well, they were too busy celebrating their so far undefeated season.
Yeah. We'll take
football.
That's a trade, but really it's football. And we're talking hockey, and hockey's
that's right. Something. Priorities.
All right. Well, question number four. As of this recording, but almost certainly not as of airing, a Toronto Maple Leafs forward is the only remained, unsigned, restricted free agent in the NHL. By the time this airs, we will know he'll be spending the rest of the season, assuming you guys are sticking with your 1 week ahead of time recording. Please give me his first and last name, which are necessary as his father and brother are also players with NHL experience.
That is William Nylander.
William Nylander is correct.
Sure is. His dad is Michael Nylander, right?
His father's Michael and his brother's Alex.
I remember watching a Rangers game in the mid-aughts, I think, when Nylander played for us, and he like left after the second period or something, and the announcer comes on and goes, yeah, you may have noticed Nylander's out of the rotation. He had to leave because his wife just went into labor.
I wonder with which one.
Yeah.
And question number five. The Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup in their second attempt this season, 20 years after their first attempt. Who swept them in their first attempt?
That was the Detroit Red Wings.
Detroit Red Wings is correct.
Nice.
So Brent with 3 questions correct in that round for 30 points. Aaron with 1 rebound for 5. After 2 rounds, Brent, you have 40 points. Aaron, 25. Still in there one game. Your first intermission category is brought to you by newly minted Sports Trivia Face-Off writer, Ryan Clefcorn Myers.
Oh, God damn it.
Nah. Category name is Spelling BS.
Hi, Ryan.
I asked Ryan very nicely for help, and within about 15 minutes, he had both the intermissions questions done, and you're going to love them both.
Excellent.
All right. Please spell the first names of each of these athletes. Number one, snowboarder Shaun White. Number two, Major League Baseball player Sean Figgins.
Oh, you bastard.
Number three, gymnast Sean Johnson. And number four, hockey player Sean Podain. While Brent and Aaron are thinking about these crazy options from our demented friend, here's something for you all to listen to.
If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks.
Both players have now locked in. Let's get to the questions. First up, snowboarder Sean White. Aaron, what did you have?
So he was in the news recently because he dressed up as a insensitive character from Tropic Thunder for Halloween. And I believe he spells his first name S-H-A-U-N.
Brent, what do you have?
Oh, darn. I said S-H-A-W-N.
Aaron was correct. It is S-H-A-U-N. And yes, that was a very insensitive costume. But
yeah.
All right. Number two, Major League Baseball player Sean Figgins. Aaron.
So I assumed Figgins is an Irish name and went S-E-A-N.
Ooh. And Brent?
I believe he spelled his name C-H-O-N-E.
Brent is correct. It is the weirdest spelling of the name I have ever encountered in all my years.
C-H-O-N-E?
Sean, C-H-O-N-E.
Huh. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I remember that guy.
Yeah, no, I will too.
I remember a number of people calling him Chone Figgins, including me, and that's why it stuck in the end for me.
Yeah, I would change that name, I think, if people kept calling me Chone.
I might, but I think after you make it to the big leagues, they better know your name.
Yeah.
Question number three, gymnast Sean Johnson. Aaron.
I believe this is S-H-A-W-N.
And Brent?
I think I got them reversed. I just went with the semi-traditional S-E-A-N.
Aaron is correct. It is S-H-A-W-N. And to my knowledge, the only woman of the four, although I have never seen the last one play. Although I'm guessing if this player was in the NHL, it's pretty well a slam dunk. So, hockey player Sean Podain. Aaron, what did you have?
G-H-O-T-I. No,
nice.
I'm kidding. again, I sort of took the last name and assumed that maybe it's S-E-A-N-N-E. That means that's wrong. That ooh means that was a good guess.
Yeah.
I probably have said it no matter what, but fair enough. And Brent?
I believe it's S-J-O-N.
Brent, I'm sorry. You were very close, but it is S-H-J-O-N.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I can spell that.
Luckily, so can Google, which I've just checked. And it is, in fact, S-H-J-O-N.
Wow.
Damn.
Brent, that close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and maybe the show that I host. I'm afraid it does not.
That's right.
But mostly because my show doesn't keep score. All right. So after the first intermission, Aaron has 45 points, catching up a little to Brent's 50.
Ooh.
All right. Brent, you go first in the second period. Your category choices are Steely Dan says, "Hey, Go Marching In, You Might Remember Me, and Girls on Film."
Again, thinking what I might know what the category is about, I'm going to go with Steely Dan says, "Hey," and think it has something to do with the number 19.
You got some pretty good instincts there, because the Steely Dan song, "Hey 19," was what inspired this category. So this is, in fact, about the number 19. Mikko Koskinen is the only goalie I've ever seen wearing a number between 2 and 19. It is number 19. He wears this as the backup goaltender for what Pacific Division NHL team?
Oh, is that San Jose?
San Jose is incorrect. Aaron.
Is it Anaheim?
Anaheim is incorrect. The correct answer is the Edmonton Oilers.
No.
And the reason I asked this question and came up with the category was because I saw that on the TV and said, whoa, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that is weird. Normally goalies are in the 30s, right?
Yeah. Or number one.
Yeah.
Tretiak famously wore number 20.
So did Ed Belfour.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Got my attention.
Ed Belfour with the best chanting name in the history of the National Hockey League.
Be better if he were a pitcher, like Grant Balfour.
That's right.
Mm. But that's true. Very rhythmic. All right. Question number two. Whose number 19 was retired by the San Diego Padres several years before his induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
This is to me.
This is to you, Brad.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn is correct. He died of cancer. That's a sad time. By the way, as long as I'm doing a PSA, this is Hockey Fights Cancer Month in the NHL, and we're going to put some money towards that because cancer sucks.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Question number three. What quarterback, whose number 19 was retired by the Colts franchise, has a haircut you can set your watch to, according to television's Grandpa Simpson?
Oh, that would have to be Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Unitas is correct. I only knew that because of The Simpsons. Question number four. What NHL player who wore the number 19 was the longest serving captain in North American Big Four sports history when he retired in 2006?
Steve Yzerman.
Steve Yzerman is correct.
Used to kill the Blues, although he killed a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And then as the Lightning GM, he got
very continues to, hockey. Yeah.
All right. Question number five. One of the drivers of car number 19 in the 1996 NASCAR season. I had to come up with some variety for this because I couldn't just go baseball and hockey. Question number five. One of the drivers of car 19 in the 1996 NASCAR season smoked during yellow flag periods during races. Sadly, he committed suicide in 2013. Who is this driver who has a name I couldn't possibly pass up mentioning in this quiz?
Oh, that would have to be Dick Trickle then.
Dick Trickle is correct.
Damn it. I knew that even before the name thing.
All right. So Brent picks up 40 out of 50 possible points on that. Very impressive. Aaron, your categories: Go Marching In, You Might Remember Me, and Girls on Film.
I mean, I know we're going to do all of them, but I want to know what Go Marching In is about, because all I've got is that Dave Matthews song stuck in my head, and that is not relevant.
The two of you happen to pick the opposite categories of the ones I had in mind when I wrote the game for each other. Go Marching In is a theme on things with Saint in them.
Ah.
And yes, thank you for the 19 category. I like
you're,
that.
You're quite welcome. All right. Question number one. The things with Saint in them. Sometimes the answer, sometimes the question. Number one, the East Coast Hockey League affiliate of the Toronto Maple Leafs is the Growlers. And I can't tell you where they play because that would give away the answer. What Canadian provincial capital do they play in?
St. Lucky Johnson.
St. Lucky Johnson is incorrect.
No.
Brent.
St. John.
I'm afraid St. John is also incorrect. The correct answer
it's
is
St. John's, St. John's, isn't it? Son of a bitch.
St. John's.
That's twice today.
That was very specifically pointed out. St. John, New Brunswick is a city, but it's also not the capital.
Yeah. It's funny every now and then when you see St. John playing St. John's, and it's like, boy, I bet that's fun.
That's unnecessarily complicated.
Yes, it is. But blame Canada. All right. Question number two. Old Tom Morris is the designer of what famed sports venue? That's to Aaron.
I mean, based on your emphasis, I'm assuming Old Tom was meant to be a hint. It does not help a lot. Is this St. Lucky Johnson?
St. Lucky Johnson is once again incorrect.
Damn it. I'll keep trying.
Keep trying. Brent?
Would this be the old St. Louis Arena?
Oh, that is also incorrect. It is the old course at St. Andrews.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right. Question number three to Aaron. Name one of the two cities where the New Orleans Saints played their home games in 2005 after the city was hit by Hurricane Katrina.
You said kind of, so like St. Louis wouldn't be right, but I'm going to say it anyway.
St. Louis is incorrect.
Yeah. Right?
I think the one that fits kind of is San Antonio.
San Antonio is correct.
Oh.
The other one was,
and I think the other one was New York.
The other one was Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Number four. What sea creature gives us the name of the AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks? Aaron?
Sea creature has to do with Saint. My brain is stuck on angelfish and it's not going to go away. Mm. I mean, your sad grunt makes me know that's the wrong answer, but No. I want to play poker with you, dude. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Angelfish.
Angelfish is incorrect. Brent?
No way.
I'm going to talk this a little bit, but is their team the Lowell Loch Monsters, therefore the Loch Ness Monster?
That would be a very interesting option, but it is incorrect. The San Jose Sharks AHL affiliate is the San Jose Barracuda.
I did not know that.
And they play in the same building.
What does that have to do with the...
San Jose.
Oh, God damn it. All right.
St. Joe.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have known it anyway, but...
All right. Okay. I have no flavor text other than Ooh Barracuda.
Oh, I hate that song.
If you had any kind of music rights in this show, I'd totally insist you plug it in there. Question number five. The St. Paul Saints. Very clever name, right? Are an independent league baseball team who play a short drive away from your host. What notable baseball fan, actor, and Wes Anderson collaborator is a part owner of the team?
Is that Bill Murray?
Bill Murray is correct for 10 points.
Woo! I got a pop culture question.
Woo! All right. Do you want a score update now, or do you want to wait until after the second intermission question?
Please, sir, I'd like a score update.
After the second period, Brent has 95 points, Aaron in a close second with 55.
That is not what that word means, sir, but I appreciate it. Mm.
All right, your second intermission question is also brought to you by Ryan Clefcorn Myers. Believe me, if you thought the last one was grown worthy, just buckle up. Mm. Name... Not lock and load.
Yeah. What kind of car do you drive? You
it
ain't,
but maybe for me it is.
Right. Easy there, Mr. Eastwood.
I have four questions for 5 points apiece. Name the following sporting figures from a limerick about them.
Yes!
Oh, God.
That's pretty much what I thought when he proposed the category and thought, how could I possibly turn it down? Number one. There once was a man from New York who partied like a giant dork. With one sweatpants tug, his leg ate a slug, and bullet holes cannot be corked. Number two. There once was a man who was slim. Rebounders were scared of him. But now he's retired and seems more inspired by a North Korean named Kim. Number three.
This is so cool. I love it. Okay, sorry.
Ryan will be very grateful to hear you giggle that.
Oh, no, this is incredible.
All right. Number three. There once was a man on the side who called Brewers games with pride. But if you pitch a bad play, it might make him say, just a bit outside.
I have a clarification question.
Yes.
We looking for a real person or a character?
Give the real person.
Okie doke.
Just in case you don't know the character's name, that's the easier one.
Right.
And the one that he gave. All right. Number four. This girl from the U.S. was pretty. So it really was such a pity that her five wins at Worlds, where she outskated the girls, just earned her bronze at Salt Lake City. Ryan, I'm going to apologize. Your meter on that sucked, but your clue was good.
You step off, buddy. You write limericks, and then you can judge.
That's fair.
Wow. That was intimidating.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think we're not in the same room.
Sorry.
And with that, Brent and Aaron will take a little time to parse through the wonderful rhythmic genius that is Ryan Clefcorn Myers, and we'll give you something cool.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Face-Off, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Face-Off group on Facebook.
And now that the contestants have turned in their answers. Question number one. Brent, what do you have?
For number one, I had Plaxico Burress.
Aaron?
Yeah, I initially wrote the Giants idiot who shot himself. And then I went, oh, right, Plaxico Burress.
Both answers are technically correct. The answer is Plaxico Burress.
It took me a minute to realize that the name didn't have to fit the rhyme scheme. This is not like a wait, don't tell me style limerick. And then I was like, oh.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, Ryan, get on that for the next time.
Wow.
Don't listen to him, Ryan. These were perfect.
Yeah. All right. Number two, Brent.
Except for the meter on that one.
Well, yes. That's true. Brent, for number two.
I had Dennis Rodman.
And Aaron.
I also had Dennis Rodman.
Rodman is correct, although a little bit crazy.
Well, super crazy.
Dude. Number three, Brent.
I had Bob Uecker.
And Aaron?
I didn't know. I wrote Harry Carey.
If you said Harry Doyle, I would have given you credit because that was the character's name in Major League played by Bob Uecker.
Yeah. Nope. Sure didn't.
And number four, Brent.
I actually didn't know this one, so I put Tara Lipinski.
And Aaron.
Oh, I also didn't know, so I put Christy Yamaguchi.
Well, they're both good guesses based on the material, but the correct answer is Michelle Kwan.
Oh, man.
Oh, I thought about her.
Yeah. I think we were both too late, Brent.
Yeah. After the second intermission, Brent has 105, Aaron has 55. All right. So, Aaron, as the trailing player after the second period,
yo,
you have your choice between You Might Remember Me and Girls on Film.
I'm going to go with You Might Remember Me.
You Might Remember Me is a round on eponyms, or things named after people.
Ooh, okay.
I remember a fair number of these. Number one, a Gordie Howe hat trick is achieved if a player records a goal, an assist, and a fight.
I knew that. Okay, fine.
I'm sorry I edited the question to make it a little more difficult because I figured that this one had actually appeared on the podcast before. I'm sure it has.
It's appeared on every trivia podcast ever because every time I try to ask it, I get told that it's been on the show in the last like 6 months.
That's probably true. So that is the definition of a Gordie Howe hat trick. But do you know the definition of a double Gordie Howe hat trick? It is when two players on opposite teams each get a Gordie Howe hat trick fighting each other. That happened on January 10th, 2012, when Adam Henrique and Jerome Aginla each recorded a Gordie Howe hat trick in the same game by fighting each other. What two teams did they play for in that game?
Ooh, okay. 2012. I think Aginla was still with Calgary then. Henrique, I do not know. And if it was Calgary, and Aginla was fighting, I assume there might have been some beef between them. But I don't know. I mean, Calgary's Canadian. Canadians are lovely people, and they don't have beefs. But because of where I'm currently sitting, I'm going to guess it was the Minnesota Wild?
That is incorrect. Brent.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, so you're looking for which team that they both played for?
They fought each other. They played for the opposite teams.
Right. Teammates would not be fighting each other, although that happened in soccer once.
That's true. And I don't know what the penalty for that is, but.
And what were your guesses again, Aaron?
Do I have to tell her?
I don't know if I have to tell her. I think you had to pay attention.
I said Calgary and Minnesota.
Okay. Would that be the Devils in Boston?
The Devils in Boston is incorrect. Aaron, you were close, or you had half of it. Jerome Aginla was still playing for the Calgary Flames. But at that point, Adam Henrique was still with the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, between the two of us, Brent, we had it right.
Half only counts in horseshoes, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Number two, having a batting average around 200 in baseball is colloquially known as being at what threshold, named for a player whose first name was Mario?
So... this is super funny because I always want to call this the Maginot line, which is like, which is super wrong. I believe it's the Mendoza line.
Mendoza line is correct, but I'm calling it the Maginot line from now on.
That is beyond.
This is my brain. Like at some point, those two wires got crossed and that's it.
Oh, well, that's sticking to mine too. So thank you.
I shall pray for you, my child.
Thanks, Father.
I'm doing the anointing thing now. You can't see because we don't have video. Because it's a podcast.
Gotcha.
Question number three. Midori Ito and Tanya Harding were the first two female figure skaters to make what kind of jump in international competition? This type of jump is extra difficult because it requires an extra half rotation than other jumps.
I'm going to guess triple Lutz.
Triple Lutz is incorrect. Brent? Yeah.
Triple axel.
Axel is correct for the 5-point rebound.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
That's impressive, sir.
That was full of shit. That was a total guess.
Well, so, sorry, Bob.
Number four. Tal's Hill, T-A-L-apostrophe-S, Hill, was a feature in a ballpark that has since been removed, presumably because it was too interesting to have a hill in live play. Huh. In what city's ballpark could you find it? I'll say Major League ballpark.
Okay. That doesn't narrow down that much. I mean, if there's actually an actual hill in the actual ballpark, it must be on the older side of the game. So I'm going to guess that was a feature maybe of the Polo Grounds, and it was New York.
New York is incorrect. Brent?
Yeah. Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas is correct for a 5-point rebound.
Really?
It is the weirdest thing. It's in a new ballpark, too. It was the hill in center field. Did it have a flagpole? I think it had a flagpole.
Yeah, it did. And it was totally artificial and looked out of place.
Well, they took it out, and it now it looks like a much more normal ballpark. But I like the idea that there's just something weird there.
It was either Crosley Field in Cincinnati or Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. I forget which, but it had a genuine incline going down the third baseline. And that, I think, is what it was modeled after. I don't remember, because those two cities have always had ballparks that looked alike.
I don't know either of those ballparks, so I have no more flavor text.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, maybe I'll find that and post it on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 5. What item of clothing was made famous by a gymnast with the first name Jules, or Jules, because he was French, though he used the generic term maillot, M-A-I-L-L-O-T, to refer to his design?
So I know that a maillot de bain is French for bathing suit. So I'm going to guess it was a leotard.
Leotard is correct for 10 points.
Ooh. Well done.
Humblest apologies to my high school French teacher when I asked snootily, when am I ever going to need this?
The answer is for 10 points.
For 10 points in a sports trivia podcast, 20 years in the future. Thank you.
Check that. And it turned the course of your existence.
I can only hope.
I'll see.
Now who's getting dark?
All right. That means, Brent, the final category for you is Girls on Film. And we have a music clip for that, too, if we need it. This is a category on movies about ladies in sports. As you could probably guess from the category name. I didn't get too clever with this one. All right. Question number 1. About what movie did Parks and Recreation's Leslie Knope suggest to her nemesis Jeremy Jam that he probably watches it and roots for the stool?
Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby is correct.
Harsh.
All right. It's entirely appropriate to the character. Mm. Question number 2. What 2002 movie features players on a team called the Hounslow Harriers?
I hate when people do this, but I don't have a guess.
Okay. Brent is tapping out. Aaron.
Huh. 2002, the only thing I can think of is Dodgeball.
Is that your answer?
I mean, yes, but no, because of the way you asked me that.
I'm legitimately trying to press you for an actual answer with that doesn't have a rise at the end of it.
I'm going.
Is that your answer?
I was trying to think of other movies that featured female teams, and I was hoping Brent would like get my wheels turning, but he didn't. I'm going to guess Dodgeball.
Dodgeball is incorrect. The correct answer is Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh.
Oh.
Huh. Okay.
Great movie. I haven't seen it in a while. I got to watch it again because it's a great movie.
I've never seen it. I need to.
Really? It's very good.
David Beckham.
And who only does appear in the movie in a cameo role, but non-speaking. As he walks by at an airport in an entourage. So file that one away. All right. Question number 3. Ellen Page stars in the roller derby movie Whip It that until now you didn't know you needed in your life. Unless you've seen it, in which case you did. Which of her co-stars directed the film?
Movies is not my wheelhouse, man.
Nor am I. This is why I left this category for you. Sorry, buddy.
Girls on Film, I think of a completely different kind of one.
I hope you're thinking Duran Duran and that's it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's all I was thinking about. Naive little boy.
Yeah, I could have made a Hungry Like the Wolf pun right there too, and it would have fit right in.
All of this is distracting from the fact that I don't have a clue what this answer is. Co-star would have taken out my one guess at a female director. I don't think Penny Marshall would be in a roller derby movie. I'll just say Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall is incorrect. Aaron?
Just in case anyone's wondering why I avoided this category, it's because I don't know anything about film or sports or women in film sports. I'm going to say Ava DuVernay. Duvernay, the Wrinkle in Time lady who seems really cool.
I think she is pretty cool, and I would like to see her in this in a roller derby movie. But the correct answer is Drew Barrymore.
No way.
Hmm.
Huh.
I learned something today.
Right?
All right, question number four. What 2000 movie features a climactic showdown between squads from Rancho Carne and East Compton high schools? Rent.
Except Bring It On.
It is Bring It On.
Damn it.
10 points.
Ugh, I asked a question about this last week and I gave the year and everything.
But three daughters who are cheerleaders. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do it. All right. And number five. That's good advice. A kid receives an autograph with the words, "Avoid the clap," signed Jimmy Dugan, in what film set during World War II?
Oh, that was A League of Their Own.
Their Own is correct for 10 points.
Nice.
All right. So after the third period, Brent is leading by a score of 145 to Aaron's 75. For your shootout rules, let's go to Shootout Rules Guy, who also sounds a lot like Brent.
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
Here are your three questions. Try to get it as close to the pin as possible. Number one. The total calories consumed by Joey Chestnut in the 2018 Nathan's Hot Dog ED contest on July 4th, according to calories estimates from Nathan's. Number two, the distance driven in miles on the Cannonball Run by Dan Gurney and Brock Yates in 1971. Number three, the record time for the Ironman triathlon for men set in 2017 by Tim Don. And with that, we'll let them think. Well, here's a message from someone.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
Both contestants having locked in their answers. We'll start with question number one. The total calories consumed by Joey Chestnut in the 2018 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Brent, what's your answer?
I went with the throw a dart at a dartboard theory and just guessed 15,000.
Okay. And Aaron?
I think I might have screwed this up. So I feel like he ate 74. I think that was about the number he got.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a stab and said one hot dog is approximately the same number of calories as a pint of Guinness, which is, I believe, about 163. And then I tried to multiply this out, and I don't know how much of that is going to make the final editing cut, but I got super stressed out, panicked, moved the decimal point a couple spots over and said 80,000, which is definitely wrong.
Well, he did, in fact, eat 74 hot dogs.
Hey, I'll take credit for that. Yeah.
According to Nathan's, a standard all-beef hot dog and bun is 280 calories, meaning that the total number of calories consumed was 20,720.
Hmm.
Yeah. I overshot.
Just a bit.
Yeah. If I had been able to do math, I would have been pretty close. Hmm.
The fact that you got the exact number of hot dogs right.
I asked.
Yeah, you should definitely get some honor points for those.
Hey, thanks.
No shortage of those. I'll give them out all the time. But for honorable things.
Yeah. Like knowing the number of hot dogs a grown man ate in 2 minutes.
All right. Number two. The distance driven in miles on the Cannonball Run by Dan Gurney and Brock Yates in 1971. Brent, what's your answer?
I said 4,200 miles.
200. Great pull of a number for me as your host. Aaron?
Yeah, so I had never heard of this, and my first thought was, how far can a cannonball reasonably go? Which is why I asked you what the unit was you gave us.
Hmm.
And then I decided I didn't know, so I said 19, because that's my favorite number. It will make another appearance in just a second.
Well, the Cannonball Run, and I'm going to look this up to get the actual wording right, because there's an actual fuller name for it. The Cannonball Run, you may know as the movie, based on this actual race, which was the Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash, which starts in New York City and ends in Redondo Beach, California. The only rule is you have to go between those two points as quickly as possible, including speeding however you like, although that was factored in. The time punishment factored in there was just how much time he spent being pulled over or possibly in jail. But in the particular run in 1971 that they clocked in, which I believe set the record at the time, that was 2,863 miles.
Okay.
So 42, if Brent did miss it by a square 1,337 miles, which is actually pretty geeky given the 4,200 you just gave, but it's still good enough.
Wow, it really is.
Yes.
That's cool.
Absolutely. All right. And number three, the record time for the Ironman triathlon set in 2017 by Tim Don for men. Brent.
I have no idea what a good time in a triathlon is, so I just said 4.5 hours.
4.5 hours. Okay, Aaron.
Okay, a friend of mine just did a full iron in, I think it was 13 something. She's a beast, but she's not an elite men's athlete. And I know that the record for a marathon is 2 hours, but after all the other stuff you have to do in an Ironman, 2 hours is unreasonable. I think I looked this up recently, and I think it was in the vicinity of 8 or 9 hours, and I could be wrong. I said 8:19:19.
Make an appearance after all.
Yeah, I told you.
The correct answer, set in 2017 by Tim Don, is 7 hours, 43 minutes, and 20 seconds.
Okay, cool. I'll take that.
Yeah, I had no frame of reference there whatsoever.
After the final round, Brent got two questions closer to the pin. Aaron got one, so Brent gets an extra 20 points. Your final scores this afternoon / evening / whenever you're listening to this podcast. Aaron with 75 points. Brent, 165. Congratulations, Brent.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Hooray.
Thank you for playing, Aaron. This was fun.
This was a lot of fun. Thanks to Andrew for writing these questions, too, and for letting me sleep in his house.
All right. So, Andrew, thank you very much for an excellent set of questions. Do you have anything you'd like to say in closing?
Well, thank you for having me on. I figure the whole point of me taking advantage of a session like this is to plug my own show.
Please do.
And so I will. We are several episodes into an educational-ish non-competitive trivia podcast called 10 Things I Wish You Knew. I'm trying to corral both of you into participating at some point because I know you know a large number of things, many more than 10, that other people wish that they knew. It's available on iTunes and Google Play and Facebook, which is where I do most of the posting for it. So if you'd like to have a gander and listen to the show, I'm sure you'll hear one of these excellent hosts jump on sooner or later, especially since I'm now suggesting it very strongly. So you're obligated to.
And it's on the record.
Yes. Well, it's on your record. You could just edit this out.
This is true.
But thank you very much for having me.
Aaron, is there anything you'd like to say in closing? I always forget you.
No, I mean, Thursday was Thanksgiving. I am thankful for Brent for bringing me on this wild ride and for Andrew for being a great friend and, like I said, having me in his house. For everyone who listens and makes this trivia community what it is, and for hugs. So my challenge to all of you today is to go out and find someone to hug. Get their consent first, please, because it was super weird. but yeah, I'm thankful for all the friends that I've made in this really very strange trivia podcast community, which makes trips like this incredibly hard to explain to people. Thank you to all of you people who make life more interesting.
Well, thank you very much to Andrew for writing a great question set for us and yes. For your listenership and for your friendship and everything. Aaron, I've told you many times, I'm very grateful to you for joining me on this ride. And I can't thank you enough. And thank you to all of our listeners and Patreon contributors out there. Frankly, this has gone about 10 times better than I thought it would. And I'm pretty humbled by that. So thank you to everyone who willingly will listen to me yammer on for about 45 minutes or so about things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things like sports. On that note, for Aaron and for Andrew, this is Brent signing off. We will see you next time you download. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thanks for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bullmeyer.
While Brett and Aaron are thinking about these crazy options from our demented friend, here's something for y'all to listen to. I had to call him my friend, which is legit, because he's a good guy.
It was his birthday yesterday. We should give him a birthday shout out.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
That was easy.
Done. Now what's next?